Just by way of review, we're going to look at a few things here. In our last lesson, we learned that the book of Jude deals with the subject of, can somebody tell me? Well, amen. That's very encouraging. Deals with the subject of apostasy. Apostasy. Sometimes in the Bible, God will take an entire chapter and deal with an entire subject. A good example of that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, also known as the resurrection chapter. Jude is the apostasy chapter. So in your outline there, the book of Jude deals with the subject of apostasy. Okay, in verse 1 of Jude, God gives comfort for Christians by teaching them through the salutation here of Jude, the opening here, that true Christians are three things. We learned them last week. They're sanctified, secured, and selected. Okay, we see that right there in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. And we talked about that means set apart by God. Praise the Lord that He set us apart unto Himself. And then it says preserved. That means secured. We talked about that. Boy, I learned that today, Brother Max. Amen. Preserved. Amen. That jar just wouldn't come. I went over to see Max in June, and Brother Max was just dying to get some, I don't know what it was, a peach jam or something. It looked good, but I'm going to tell you what, that cap would not come off. I got the thing going, and we had to get out a little knife and tap it. And then I thought we were going to have to get some C4 and just blow it up. Amen. But it was preserved. And Max put that jam on there. And I don't know when you can that, June. But I know this. It was good. I saw the look on his face. It was preserved. Hey, aren't you glad you don't keep yourself saved? You don't have to persevere. But you're preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're sanctified, secured, and they're selected. At the end of the verse, it says, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Okay, the salutation given here is the only one of its kind in the New Testament. Okay, this one here in Jude in verse 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Every other salutation in the New Testament begins with the word, does anybody know? Grace. Every other salutation listed in the New Testament begins with the word grace. That was very interesting to study that. How Paul opened his salutations with grace. Okay, and includes the word peace. Most times it would be grace and peace be unto you. Okay, if you look at the different church epistles. Okay, grace and includes the word peace. However, this salutation contains the three words mercy, peace, and love. Okay, mercy, peace, and love. So we're going to, by way of our title tonight, we're going to try to have the proper look. There are three looks in our text that we'll take a look at here. The first point there, point number one, is mercy, the upward look. Mercy, the upward look. Okay? Here, this is, sometimes we just, again, we go past these, and I'm so guilty of it. We just read, we buzz past these words and just think, well, it's just a salutation. It's just the way they used to greet each other. But it's really a prayer, folks. It's a prayer. And so here he says, mercy, the upward look. Mercy, on your outline, if you have your outline there, mercy is the withholding of that which we rightly deserve. Many times in my childhood, my father had the tendency to reach for his belt when I got out of line. And there was always a word on my lips. And it wasn't the word judgment. And it wasn't the word I deserve this. It was the word mercy. Did you ever play mercy? Any of you guys out there ever play mercy? I was blessed, Brother Ron. I have a mercy hand. I have a gigantic hand. Amen. So anytime I would play mercy against somebody, I would be the one who would be reaching over and bending the hand. And they would say, mercy, mercy, mercy. And that means, please, I know you can defeat me, but please, please kindly let me go. Mercy is the withholding of that which we rightly deserve. You see, our God is a merciful God. It here on your outline, it is exemplified in God saving us from hell. You see, folks, we don't like to admit it, But we're wicked sinners, and all we deserve is the lake of fire for all eternity, because the wages of sin is death. Now, if you say, oh, not me, well, it's nice to have visitors from heaven tonight. But the rest of us are sinners deserving of hell. By the way, you can't get saved until you understand that you're a sinner. Amen. You just can't do it. It's honestly, you just can't do it. You have to understand you're a sinner and deserving of hell. And so we have a verse there, John 3:16. We don't need to turn to it. We know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's mercy. That's mercy. Mercy. So we're talking about the upward look here. Mercy. Okay? We are encouraged to exercise mercy. That's the blank line there. We are encouraged to exercise mercy in our lives. Let's go to some of these verses here. Hold your place in Jude, and let's look and see what God says about mercy in our lives. Over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. We met for staff prayer today, and I told the fellas, I said, I've been praying about something personal, and I said, and I'll get ready, I'm going to preach on it pretty soon here, but my most often prayed prayer here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, and that is for wisdom. Wisdom. And then God began to smite my heart, and he said, I gave you a whole book of wisdom called Proverbs. Amen. And it said, if you're going to pray that, would you start reading that? I'm starting to read Proverbs every day. I used to, as a youth pastor, recommend that, Pastor John. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. Amen? And so Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 17. We see something about mercy in our lives. Look at it if you would. It says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So the first thing we see there about mercy is it's healthy for the soul. I talked to somebody today that was struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness in their life. And I said to them, they're not a Christian. I said, you need to get rid of that for your own sake. Because it will eat you alive. And I want to tell you, the man that is unmerciful is a miserable man. Miserable. Just a terrible thing. It's healthy for the soul to have mercy on somebody. Aren't you glad somebody had mercy on you? Aren't you glad God had mercy on you? Boy, I'll tell you what, it's healthy for the soul. Look, if you would, at Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. That'll be a little tougher to find, amen? We'll see how long the pages rattle on that one. Mine are still rattling, so. Jonah. Hey, yeah, there I am. Micah 6:8. We see here something else. It's not only healthy for the soul, but look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. If you're not there, we're going to have to start without you. Amen. People are like, where's Micah? Oh, boy. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So it's not only healthy for the soul, it's required by God. God says this is a requirement for living. Amen? To love mercy. Not just extend it, but love it. Love to extend it. Boy, I think that's one thing that God must absolutely delight in. Because we deserve what we deserve, but he extends mercy to us. Boy, I tell you, that verse in Lamentations there, it's of his mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. One more, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, back to the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount here, and this is in the chapter known as the Beatitude chapter. We see something else about when we exercise mercy in our lives. And you know the verse, you just don't know you know it. As soon as I start reading it, you'll know it. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So on your blank line there, it brings mercy. When you're merciful, God brings mercy to you. Amen? And so, on the outline, since we are the recipients, blank line, recipients of God's abundant mercy, and this is what we call a rhetorical question, it answers itself. Shouldn't we be merciful when we are wronged? And the answer to that, church, is yes, we should. And I get you some verses there for you to read on your own time. We don't have to read them tonight. We don't have time. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Or we could call him the unmerciful servant. Forgiven of a debt of 10,000 talents. Millions and millions of dollars in our day today. What did he do? He found somebody that owed him 40 bucks. And he grabbed him by the throat. Said, pay me what you owe me. What a terrible thing. Unmerciful. So, mercy. And here's a great line here from the evangelist Sam Jones. I'll never hold a grudge against anybody unless they've treated me worse than I've treated God. That's a good line. Amen. Unmerciful. Let's have mercy. Let's have the upward look. We've received mercy. Let's exercise mercy in our lives. Number two, peace, the inward look. Peace, the inward look. Not only mercy, the upward look, but peace, the inward look. Okay, there are two types of peace that we know of in the Bible. The first line there, number one, is we have peace with God. Peace with God. And let's jump over there to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. A very important verse in your life to understand this. This is, Jude is full of doctrine. It really, really is. And doctrine need not be boring. Doctrine is exciting when you know that God is trying to teach you something. The first thing we see is peace with God. Romans 5:1. Boy, if you mark your Bible, mark this verse. This is a key verse. A key verse in the New Testament. It says here, therefore being justified by faith. Are we justified by our works? No. Okay. Can you work and work and work your way to heaven? No. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So peace with God. The Word of God on your outline here, the Word of God teaches that the unregenerate man is the enemy of God. That is the person that is unsaved. The person who has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are the enemy of God. You say, but I'm not God's enemy. I appreciate God and all He does. If you're not saved, you're on the wrong team. Okay? Look at verse 10 of Romans 5. Just go down. Look what it says there. For if when we were, what's the next word, class? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So there was a time when we were the enemies of God. We were at war with God. And then Jesus Christ came, if we could say it this way. And through His blood and through our faith, He took the hand of God. He took our hand when we received Him as Savior, and He put those hands together and He said, peace through my blood. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the peace of God, this we're looking at it here. However, when they become God's child, when they receive Christ and therefore are at peace with God. So our outline is this. The Word of God teaches that the unregenerate man is the enemy of God. However, they become God's child when they receive Christ and therefore are at peace with God. What a beautiful thing that is, folks. Listen, we're not at war with God anymore when we get saved. We got ourselves on the right team. Amen. We switch from the Yankees to the Red Sox. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, boy. Second thing, not only peace with God, but number two, there's the peace of God. And we've given you three verses there. I hope you'd look them up on your own. Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. I give you my peace, let not your heart be troubled. And then, of course, Philippians 4:7, where it talks about how if we pray and we ask God to help us, that He'll give us the peace of God which passeth all understanding. This is a promise to the sincere and obedient child of God. The peace of God is not for everybody. Everybody can have it. It's available. Not everybody gets it. Because you have to be sincere with God. You have to come to God and fess up. Amen. And you have to be obedient to His word. And I promise you, and I have here, this will be irreplaceable during the days of apostasy. We've talked about it over and over, and we'll continue to talk about it in Jude. Dark days ahead in the scriptures we're going to study. Dark. I mean dark days. Boy, when you go through darkness, aren't you glad for the peace of God? Aren't you glad for that? Well, I'll tell you what, I am. I've had dark days in my life. You've had dark days in your life. Those of us that could look back and say, boy, God gave me such peace. Over and over, Brother Fred last week said, Pastor, I just got peace. I know where my Hazel's going. I know where she is. And I've got peace. Isn't it wonderful? So peace is the inward look. Mercy is the upward look. And again, under number two there, again, the order is divine. A person cannot have the peace of God until they have first made peace with God. Amen? And it's important to understand that. You cannot have the peace of God if you're not His child, because you're at war with Him. He doesn't give that. Amen? When we get saved, He makes peace one with another here, us with God, but then we can have the peace of God. Praise the Lord for that. Thirdly, not only mercy, the upward look, peace, the inward look, love, the outward look. Amen? Love, the outward look. God loves us, and I appreciate so much, Pastor Mayer. This is just how the Lord works. Amen? We don't check with each other with what songs we're going to sing and whatnot, and what Jesus loves me. Amen? What is that? That's this here. God loves us and desires that we love Him. True love, on your blank, true love for God manifests itself in several areas, okay? So we're talking about love, the outward look. Go to these verses if we could here. Psalm chapter 97. Psalm chapter 97 in the Old Testament. We're on this topic of loving God. There's a lot of people that say they love God. There's a lot of people that say they love God. But it doesn't pass the scriptural test. And everything we do, folks, needs to pass the scriptural test. When somebody comes to me, oh, I love God so much. I almost always listen to them and smile. But I want to know how they live. Do they live in such a way that proves that they love God? Because a lot of times it's just words. Amen? And God's not interested so much in our words as He is in our walk. He's not interested in our lips. He's interested in our life. Amen? Look what the first thing, Psalm chapter 97, verse 10. Can we see the first thing that we know if we love God? We see there, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Hatred of sin is the first line there on our outline. True love for God manifests itself in a hatred for sin. See, as long as you coddle that sin, and as long as you hold on to that sin, you're not passing the scriptural muster test of loving God. Amen. You love your sin more than God. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because there's been times in my life where I love my sin more than I love God. Shame to say, but true. Amen. And don't look at me like you're all visitors from heaven tonight. Amen. Some of you have too. I thought I was the only... Oh, wait, I am the only one up here. Listen, folks. You know what will really make our love for God burn hot is when we start hating sin. When we start calling it sin. When we stop excusing it in our lives. Hatred of sin is a manifestation of the love of God. Go over to John chapter 14. Important verse. I cannot tell you, Pastor John, the amount of times I counsel teenagers with this verse as a youth pastor in John chapter 14 as Jesus is in His final sermon here at the Last Supper and He's speaking to His disciples and He gives another requirement for love, another manifestation. He said, if you, verse 15 of John 14, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Not only hatred of sin, but obedience to the Savior. And there are certain things that God asks us to do, amen, in His Word. And you can't say that I love God and not do what He says. You could say God loves me. You could say that all the time, amen. But if we're being disobedient, and by the way, it's not my job to come to you and say, you're being disobedient. The Holy Spirit does a so much better of a job than I do. Amen? When we just let Him do His job. And He'll convict you about areas in your life. So obedience to the Savior. And there's another verse there, 1 John 5:3. Look it up on your own. Something else that we show, manifest our love for God. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Making our way back to our text here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So we see their hatred of sin, obedience to the Savior, ministering to the saints. Shows our love for God. It says it right there in the text. Okay? It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Love for God. When we love God, we minister to the saints. Boy, I appreciated seeing the good crowd here Saturday for the funeral. Appreciated the ministering that went on to our dear beloved Fred. And that was truly a blessing. And then one more text here, 1 John chapter 4. And probably most of us know this as the probably the most quoted verse on loving God. And it's a good verse. You know, we've quoted it ourselves, Pastor John and Pastor Mayor, myself, last month as we had people coming and asking us for help. And verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth his God loveth his brother also. So loving the brethren on your outline there, is a manifestation of the love of God. If we say we love God, do we hate sin? Are we obedient to the Savior? Are we ministering to the saints? Are we loving the brethren? At the end of the outline here, this salutation, which is a prayer, okay, requests that mercy, peace, and love are graces that should not just be possessed by believers. In other words, we possess all of those. We possess God's mercy. If you're saved, you're at peace with God and you can have the peace of God. You have received the love of God. We should not just possess these, but should be multiplied during dark days. And again, if we receive mercy, is it not too much to ask that we be merciful to others? If we've received the peace of God, listen, if we're at peace with God, shouldn't we be peaceful toward all men, as the Bible says? And if we've received the love of God, shouldn't we have that outward look and communicate His love toward others? I think we should. Amen, church. Let's have the proper look. Our Father, we pray You'd bless now. We thank You for the Word of God. Thank You. There are just so many truths in these little verses. Lord, we have received Your mercy. I know I have. Lord, almost 15 years ago, I received Your mercy. And I'm so thankful for it. Every day, I'm thankful for Your mercies in my life. Lord, thank You for, Lord, the day when I was Your enemy, but through Christ and His blood and His sacrifice, You said there's peace now. There's peace. We're not at war anymore. Thank You for that. And then, Lord, for the love which You showed to me, Lord, help me to multiply these graces in my life. Help me to be merciful. Help me to, Lord, to have not only peace with God, but to have the peace of God, to multiply peace. Lord, to multiply love. Lord, You said later on in this book, some have compassion, making a difference, that love in action. Pray you'd bless now as we have an invitation time, Lord, as we give people an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. Lord, we do love you and thank you for all that you give to us. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd continue to work in our lives. Lord, you've been so good to us, so good. So good to our church. Lord, so good to us individually. Help us to love you and to thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand to our feet. Amen. And I'm looking for a page number. My Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. What page is that? Amen. Wherever that is, somewhere. Amen. Boy, this is always the tough part, trying to find the page. Amen. 600, well, amen. We got to change that page number, amen. 666, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Let's sing it out, page 666. What a great hymn. Trust that this will be your prayer tonight as we sing 666.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know.
Just the piano and the organ on the second verse. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't normally do this on a Wednesday night, but let me ask you a question. How's your love for God? Great, Pastor. Great all the time. It is if you're hating sin. But maybe sin's kind of wiggling its way in. You know, apathy is sin. Prayerlessness is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, the Bible tells us. See, sin is a cunning foe. It sneaks in. Do you hate sin? When the wrong kind of program comes on, are you quick to turn it off? How about obedience to the Savior? Are you ministering to the saints? Are you loving the brethren? That's that outward look. When we receive the love of God and we give it out. How about tracts? Have you passed out any tracts this week? Telling people about him. I'm glad for the upward look, mercy. I'm glad for the inward look, peace. But boy, I think the outward look, the order again is divine. God wants us to have that outward look. Let's sing one more verse. Let's sing the last verse. In mansions of glory. If you need to come, you come.
In mansions of glory.
Have a great week. Make sure you get some tracks on the way out. We'll be back here tomorrow night for volleyball. Amen. And let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Travis Jones, sir, right there, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?